beautiful worship song to introduce the series of messages which we will begin this Sunday morning. Of course, that was one of the powerful worship songs written by the late Keith Green. And I can't help but wonder many times, because of all the beautiful worship songs that he has written, what more would have come from his heart and from his pen had he lived even longer, because his life was taken very, very young through that airplane accident. But you see, that's life. We never know, do we, exactly when or how or why sometimes life is shortened, or what to us is shortened, but which to our Father is right on schedule. I often hear people say, especially when a younger individual passes on, oh, they lived too short a life. Their life was too short. Well, that may be by human calculation, but by spiritual biblical revelation, each person is called home exactly at the appointed time, Ecclesiastes 3. It has been appointed. That is, before you and I were born, it was appointed. The time of our arrival and the date and time of our departure. I'd like to share the scripture lesson now for today. This is a scripture lesson that will basically be the foundation scripture for the next few messages which we will be sharing with one another. And it comes to us out of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. So this is St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing to the Roman Church, chapter 12. We'll begin our reading from verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Interesting. He doesn't say souls. He doesn't say hearts. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And how about verse 2? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now there the mind kicks in. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, the Bible is very clear about this. Not every single individual carries within themselves the exact same measure of faith. That's why it's so powerfully meaningful to have within a Christian fellowship individuals who have unquestioning, absolute faith and trust. Because they become witnesses and encouragers to those who may not yet be at that juncture. Now here's the heart of this text. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Sometimes that is referred to as body ministry, where those in the body, the fellowship, minister to one another, not just to those outside, foreign countries, persecuted Christians, unsaved, but body ministry, where there's an active, viable ministry to those within the fellowship. Now he goes on in verse 6 to highlight these very powerful gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Number 2, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Number 3, he that teaches on his teaching. Number 4, he that exhorteth. Wow, not very popular, but necessary. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, some English translations put in there instead of ruleth, leadership. Same thing. Those who exhibit leadership with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, that's number 7, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. It doesn't say ignore. I never noticed that until looking through that more particularly this week. It doesn't say ignore evil. It says abhor. That's a strong word. But cleave to that which is good. Back to body ministry in verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, to honor, preferring one another. Interesting way of saying crucifying self-service. Preferring, giving place, priority to one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. Bless those which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now there's about a month's worth of sermons right there in that one verse. Rejoice with those that do rejoice. Weep with those that are weeping. Be of one mind, one toward another, and mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Now, if that were followed, trial lawyers would go out of business, or at least it would be greatly reduced. Because we are a nation that is tied up and occupied with avenging ourselves. Not pleasing to the Lord. Because it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, and I always tell you, if there's an therefore in the Bible, find out why it's therefore. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I would like to say to you, just kind of parenthetically here, that in my conviction, this is perhaps one of the very, 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 very most powerful chapters in the entire Bible, because it sets out in detail, not vague generalities, but detail, what a life pleasing to the Lord looks like. how it is to be carried out, and what we are to be doing as Christians serving the Lord. But the key to this chapter is that portion that delineates for you and for me the second of the gift lists of the Holy Spirit. Now, I chose for this series of messages to, Gwen thought it was kind of unusual when she was typing the bulletin, to put the title of the toolbox of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't normally imagine we think of the Holy Spirit as going around with a toolbox. But that's exactly what we have here. And I was praying for some validation of this concept, and I happened to go in the sacristy the other day, and in the sacristy there hangs, among other things, the beautiful peace prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, who is perhaps my favorite character of all time in history except Jesus, St. Francis of Assisi. And his amazing prayer begins with this word, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Now, an instrument is a tool in the hands of the workman. And in our lives, you and I are to be instruments in the hands of Creator Father God. And to further lay out how this is to operate, the Lord gives us seven instrumentalities, seven tools that the Holy Spirit has in his toolbox for the church to accomplish its ministry. So when the workman goes to his workplace and he carries with him his tool chest or toolbox or whatever it's called, within that toolbox are the essential, necessary tools to accomplish the job that has to be done. I remember as a young lad, it seemed like the radios were always blowing tubes, and the repairman would come by periodically to our home, and he'd have this amazing toolkit with all these little bulbs and testing devices. And I was fast. I thought, that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be one of those guys. Well, we don't do that anymore, do we? Not very much job security in being a tube tester. But the instruments that are within the toolbox are created, crafted in such a way that they will accomplish their work successfully in the hands of a trained and committed worker. And so Father God has these instruments, and he identifies seven examples. There may be more, but here we have seven. And I believe if we could catch this message today, maybe I should say if the message could catch us, this could have a profound effect. In a couple of weeks, most calendars, I don't know, even mention this, but the one I get from Boys Town every year always puts in September Grandparents Day. And being a grandparenting church, that always arrests my attention. And I think this message today and next week and so forth will have possible profound meaning for grandparents who have an unusual ability and position from which to influence the lives of their grandchildren. So what's this all about? Well, it's about this, that when you and I were created, now that's before we're hatched, before we're upon the earth, viably upon the earth, when we're conceived, all of the potentiality of our lives is created at that moment. And that's why there can be absolutely no argument about the value of life, the preciousness of life, because all that that life will ever become is right there in that moment of creation. And I don't believe in our guidance classes in schools and in parental dealings with our kids, we often look at life from this angle or from this vantage point. We're so busy asking kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a movie star. I want to be a baseball player. Well, great. That's a lot of fun going through that stuff. I do it with our grandchildren, 7 of them, each time I see them. What is it now you want to do? But I don't leave that conversation without saying to them, the most important thing is for you to find out, to discover what Father God has in mind for you at the moment of your creation. What did Father God plan for your life? Because the secret of much of the success of life is to carry out the plans that the Father has because He has gifted us with those gifts necessary to carry out the plans that He has for our lives. And if we have some way out in space idea of something that we think we might want to do that could change 10 times before we get anywhere, we cannot be certain that Father God has gifted us with the necessary qualifications, talents, to accomplish what it is that He's called us to be, that we have changed into what we want to be. And there are so much wreckage that is strewn along the paths of life because people failed to consider what Father God had in mind. So we have 7 identifications of the instrumentalities that the Holy Spirit has given. And the first of them, I often think that when there is a sequential number of anything in the Bible, I've often felt that it has a value to it, like what is number one is number one. The first commandment is the first commandment because it has to be the first commandment. So in this list, the very first gift is prophecy. That's the first tool that the Lord has given to His church to accomplish ministry. And what He's telling us is that within the body of Christ, the local body of Christ, He will place those to whom He has given the prophetic gift. Now, we may not call them prophets. That's fine. We don't have to identify people in those terms. But we ought to recognize that there is within a local church the opportunity to lay hold of the prophetic revelation of the Lord God concerning what it is He wants us to do. We're blessed in this congregation to have at least 3 individuals, and there could be more, who variously will exercise the prophetic gift. And what a blessing that has been to this congregation as we journey along, carrying out the vision which we believe the Lord has given to this congregation. And so we're open. We are definitely open to receive prophetic utterances as the Lord gives them. Now you say, well, what if somebody just starts jabbering or just spewing out? No. The Bible warns us in 1 John that we are to test the spirits. So when a prophetic utterance is given, it has to be tested. Okay, how is it tested? Well, first of all, it's tested by Scripture. Does it coincide with Scripture? Secondly, does it bear witness to believers in the body of Christ? And the third one, which maybe is the most painful, when you begin to carry it out, does it work? Because if a prophecy is truly from the Lord and you begin to carry it out, it will succeed. If not, it will fall by the side. And in Amos 3, 7. Great, great emphasis is given to the necessity of this gift in our world, but particularly in the body of Christ. Because Amos 3:7 tells us, without prophecy, the Lord God does nothing. The Lord God does nothing unless he, literally it says, the Lord God does nothing unless he first tells his servants, the prophets, what he's going to do. So that means, is anybody listening? Is anybody paying attention? Not to what the news headlines are saying, not to what the primary candidates are saying. Is anybody paying attention to what the prophetic voices are saying? Because that's what's going to take place. Now, the second gift is also very interesting. And the second gift, I suppose, in some ways, is maybe one of the most misunderstood gifts. And that's the instrumentality of teaching. A teacher. I would like to spend about 4 messages on the ministry of the teacher, but we're not going to do that. I think that the gift of the teacher is one of the absolutely most crucial gifts that the Lord has given to his church. Now, we're not speaking here necessarily about Sunday school teachers, although that could be an example, but not necessarily. Sometimes people are roped into teaching Sunday school because they have a kid in the class, or because they volunteer, or they're kind of pressured into doing it. No. Here we're talking about a teacher who is, first of all, called of Almighty God to be a teacher. And secondly, equipped, anointed is a better word, I think, anointed to teach. There are teachers who fill classrooms or fill spaces where people are listening, but they really aren't teachers. And then there are teachers who all through their lives, even in retirement, continue to carry out the office, the work of teacher. And that is such a crucial, crucial ministry. We don't put much focus in our country today upon Christian teachers. And when I say that, I'm not speaking about Christian teachers in Christian high schools. I'm speaking about Christian teachers in the entire body of Christ. But in our area, we have been privileged in these last few years to be visited by several truly anointed Christian teachers. Eric Metaxas is one. John Stonestreet is another. There are those who have spoken at these conferences at Bay Harbor. Very, very, very powerful gifts of teaching. And of course, Christian Radio. Christian Radio has many Christian teachers who exercise that powerful gift of teaching each and every time they speak. One of my very, very, very favorites was Elizabeth Elliot. Maybe some of you remember her. Her husband, Jim Elliot, was the famous missionary, along with the other 4 who were martyred by the Kiowa Indians. Elizabeth went on to a career that way, way, way usurped the career of Jim Elliot. And several of her books are absolutely amazing. But for years, Elizabeth Elliot had a radio ministry. I think it was called Gates of Joy. Gates of Joy. And it was, I'll tell you, it was not an easy listen, because she was a stickler for biblical faithfulness and biblical integrity and people carrying out what the call of the Lord upon their lives really was. And I remember occasionally she would read a letter that somebody had sent in to her. And on one of these occasions on the radio, she read a letter from somebody. And this person went on and on. My husband died. My kids aren't speaking to me. My job isn't going well. I'm a mess, and I don't know what to do. Whew, I'm glad nobody sent me that letter. I don't know what to do. She said, Elizabeth, tell me what to do. Now, I'll tell you, it'd take the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to biblically answer that question. But Elizabeth had the answer. She said, ma'am, take your eyes off yourself, first of all. And secondly, do the very next thing that's in front of you to do. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. Maybe spiritual, not spiritual, important, unimportant, trivial. Do the next thing that's in front of you to do. And when that's done, you will discover the next thing. And you go on to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. Wow, what wisdom. We are blessed in this congregation to have with us this morning at least two anointed teachers. We have Jackie, who's with us virtually every Sunday, bless the Lord. But Brother Paul, I don't know how it happened that he got here on this Sunday when we're talking about teachers. But he is truly an anointed teacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to rejoice and give thanks for teachers, especially those who are faithful to their call, who are anointed in their tasks, and who are unselfish in the giving of their time and their talent for the work of Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we have opened the toolbox, the tool chest of the Holy Spirit, to begin to examine some of the instruments that you have placed there to do your work in the body of Christ. We thank you for the revelation of the scriptures. We thank you for placing within your body various of these gifted instruments. Help us to treasure them. Help us to heed the work that you have sent them to accomplish. And throughout the church, O God, awaken the church to the need to listen to the Holy Spirit as he teaches and guides and leads the church of Christ in the path that he has set out for the church to follow. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, amen. Go in peace and with joy serve the Lord. Amen.